Well, now, certain other teachings come again and again. And I've taken out examples of them. For instance, he would say this: "Life is too short to risk half measures, my beloved sons, and such an opportunity as you have been given is very rare. Take your life as one complete sacrifice. Remember that since you have joined the holy yoga, you are connected not only with your friends and relatives, but also with those immortal lords who grace Sri Kand. This is the spiritual center. And indeed, that your relationship with them is the chief factor to be borne in mind. I repeat that a true yogi must be single-minded." This is another passage. "If certain dogs can be so single-minded that they would prefer slow death by starvation to being separated from their masters, is it not also possible for man? If I may say so, be mad in this yoga. Live the yoga, dream the yoga, sleep the yoga, eat the yoga, walk the yoga. Be Shiva, be the holy Ganges." Then in another place, "I warn you only against adopting half measures. Be prepared to walk on the edge of a sword. But the whole of nature cooperates with him who wants to know Atman. So what has he to fear?" One can say, well, you cannot live like that. And Swami Mangalnath speaks of this. He says, you can. Think, well, if the mind is transcended, how will the body keep going? How can people do a job? How could they cultivate the fields? And the answer which comes in a number of places is that it's no longer a human mind taking selfish decisions, but these are promptings and inspirations from the divine mind. When the human mind is transcended in samadhi, the divine mind prompts the actions of the body and the thoughts, which no longer revolve around the small center. We can say, well, you could not run a career like that. And we have the example of Pandit Baijnan, the most successful and famous lawyer. He was one of the very distinguished Indians who was invited across to see Queen Victoria. A really great man. He must have, building up his career, he must have had to reduce his devotion to very limited time while he was learning law. In the Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam Sāṅhitā in general, there's nothing said about the necessity for making a success of a career. When Sri Dada advises the boys, he says, don't become civil servants. Don't become merchants. That was where the big money was, in civil service and in trade. Don't become soldiers. And he recommends them to learn how to farm efficiently and to become small-time builders in the small Himalayan state where they had been born. We can say, oh, but then the whole career of Pandit Baijnan, he's telling us to go all out for making a great success. But if we read the words of Pandit Baijnan given to the yoga disciples, he says, on this very point, duty is a demand made on us by the Lord of the universe. In its highest form, it is expressed as a duty to know him as he is and bring and help others in knowing him. The one and only sovereign remedy for ignorance, avidya, which brings about the various forms of suffering, as well as joys, which are the inevitable precursors of suffering, is a direct perception of the nature of the self. This one perception includes within itself the fulfillment of all duties, whether civil, domestic, national, or otherwise. To discover and experience it should ever be the paramount concern in life. Those who postpone the purposeful search for ultimate truth or give preference to any other interest, whether individual, national, or philanthropic, are sadly deluded. To my children, if I were granted only a few minutes of your company, I would say this. Know Atman and stop all other undertakings. Pandit Baijnad chaired a number of important commissions in India. Weren't they undertakings? He says, no, Atman, stop all other undertakings. They were like play of the Lord through him, and they were not commitments which could take him away from yoga. He recommends to a schoolmaster or a merchant, says he should take it that he is in his position from his karma, and he should aim to work efficiently. But at the end of the day, he should treat the world as if the world were dead, completely dead, not think about it anymore. And he said that to Allnut, who was one of his disciples, who was in charge of a railway station, he said to him, when Allnut said that the work was disturbing and interfering with his spiritual practice, which was now very advanced, Sri Dada smiled and he said, yes, but give your example for a few years more. While you have been in charge, there have been no strikes, no quarrels, no drunkenness, and your example is necessary. Then fulfill your spiritual wishes. And he did this not as a personal ambition, but he continued just for a few years.